23, you can stay there. If not, if you're not there, there's open up to Luke 23. Today we'll be looking at the cross. I have a question for my title, and it is why the cross? And what I want us to do is each of us here to think about that time, as we usually do on this day. But I want us to focus in on the three persons on the cross, Christ and the two thieves. The crucifixion was gory and it was harsh, but it was also beautiful in that it was the day payment was made so that you and I could not just hope for heaven, but know we could have eternal life through Jesus Christ. As it said in 1 John 4:10, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us, sent His Son to be the propitiation, the payment for our sins. And that's the two things I want us to look at today is one is sin, and two is the sinners there. So, being that Jeff read the text, that I want to dig right in. First is this sin. This is something deep within us, and those who have children realize that it's something that we don't have to teach our kids bad behavior. Thank you, Bob. Yes. Even from the littlest of age, youngest on, we see it. It's nothing that we have to teach our children to swing back. We don't have to teach our children to be harsh, but instead we have to constantly try to steer them to live a right way. And it's foolish for us, as we've seen the world try this, is we think there's many out there that believe that if we just educate people, we teach them a lot of things, that'll fix everything. But as I like, as D.L. Moody, the great American evangelist, said this, if a man is stealing nuts and bolts from a railway track, then in order to change him, you send him to college. At the end of his education, he will steal the whole railway track. Because education doesn't fix the heart. Jesus is what needs to be accepted to change. Now, 2 weeks ago, we looked at creation. We discussed Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And when He finished on that sixth day, He said, what? Everything was very good. Very good. And then last week we talked about the fall of man in Genesis 2:17. He said, we had one rule He gave them, but of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you shall eat of it, you shall surely die. One rule, one thing He asked them to do. The folks that many of us may speak with, talk with, say that they don't like the Christian faith because it's a list of rules of do's and don'ts. But even if there was just one rule, as there was in the very beginning when God created, we wouldn't even keep that. It'd be foolish for any of us, as we just discussed and talked about, that if I was there, I would have done it differently. If I was there, I would have made the right decision. Because even today, if we think about just this day, how we lived, without a doubt we can think of a sin that we committed. Even us that have Christ still, there's that flesh that we battle with. A quote from someone said that we are not sinners because we sin. We sin because we're sinners. It's something deep within us. Romans 8:7-8 says this, for the mind that is set on the flesh is hostile to God, for it does not submit to God's law. Indeed, it cannot. Those who are in the flesh cannot please God. See, the deeds is not enough. That's not what helps us, as so many will say, is that, you know, well, I've done this or that, so I hope that when I get to heaven, you know, God will remember what I did. It doesn't help. It doesn't fix the sin. Romans 1:18 says it very clearly, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. See, all the wrath, what is the things that you do going to help with the wrath of God? You need a Savior. You need someone else that can take care of these things. Romans 6:23, many of us know that, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin. Sin is the issue, right? Sin is the main issue we have, and the only way it can be dealt with is death. And your death is not going to solve the sins that you've committed. Because you would be a tainted sacrifice. You wouldn't be a pure sacrifice. Even if you took the time to study in Exodus and looking at what they had to use and the rules that went out for sacrificing that lamb or that goat, even the pigeons, all these things, there was such an importance that this was clean, a clean animal. So what did Jesus do by going to the cross? As I said there in 1 John 4:10, right? He was the propitiation. He was the payment. He paid that payment. And then was studying with this and looking, as I looked at Isaiah 53:10, just the first part of that verse, you look at that and it says, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him." We think about that with our kids, right? Or even some of us may remember as you grew up and you wanted to do the will of God, you know, with your college decisions, with your picking out, with talking about your spouse, you know, you want to do God's will. You want to, whatever God's will would be. How many of us have really thought about the cross? Right there. It was the will of God to crush him. This is just amazing to me to think about God in heaven. This is His only Son. We studied in Sunday school not too many few weeks ago about Abraham. And Abraham, there he is, he's got Isaac. Without a doubt, I'm sure the man must have been broken. Just knowing, yes, as it's shared in Hebrews, that if something was going to happen and God was going to allow us to go forth, he believed that God would raise him up. But still, it doesn't make it easy. It was the will of God to crush him. So we look at these two thieves here, as Jeff read for us, two sinners. And we see there, if you look at verse 40, I said, "But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation?'" See, the key thing for sinners, for us to, before we come to Christ and come to understanding, is we need to have a fear of God. There needs to be a fear of God within an individual before they can truly understand their sin issue. See, here he is on the cross, and one man, the one thief, is making fun and poking and getting along, jiving along with the crowd there. The other one says, "Do you not fear God?" You know, I think about that as we just looked at Isaiah 53:10. It was the will of God to crush him. So when you think about that, you think about, this is what he did to Jesus Christ when sin was laid on him. He crushed Jesus. That was his will, his desire, so that he could have us. And so many will say that, "Well, I don't deny God. I believe in God. I'm just not too sure about this whole thing with Jesus and everything." But as James 2:19 says, "You believe God as one, you do well. Even the demons believe, but they shudder." Right? And they shudder. See, fear is what drives us to the right mindset, right? Fear is what drives us right to that fixed mindset. And we see verse 41 there. It says, "And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong." So whether this other thief knew of Christ or heard of him, I'm sure it was talked about, as we saw people, crowds came from many other towns farther away. They all came there. The word was out. There wasn't like it was on a Facebook hit or something silly like that. This was conversation. So you think about, this was going on and on. People are talking about it in the marketplace. They're saying, "Did you hear about this guy?" So whether this man fully understood who Jesus was or not, it's not what's right here, but we see that What he realizes that Jesus did not deserve what was going on, but he did. He realized that his sin, his issue, what he was getting right there was his due. Romans 3:23, it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." See, so often we hear that, right? People say that, well, I really haven't done that bad. And you may even look at this passage and others may have read here and say that, well, I wasn't a thief. Or I wasn't a Barabbas. I wasn't a really bad guy, you know? So but it says all have sinned and because of that, we all fall short of the glory of God. You can't get there. It doesn't matter if you're a little better or a little worse. You're just not going to get there. Because the sole focus should be for us is heaven, right? See, I think about that as it just happened this week at work. It was just yesterday. Talking with a few guys, this crew I'm having to work with is very crude. Construction, you bump into that a bit more than you'd like. And when they found out I was a pastor, through conversation, because I wasn't going to be there today, and the jokes come. And what was amazing to me is that the one guy who was kind of the ringleader of the circus, or whatever you want to call these guys, you know, he said that. He goes, you know, I know I'm going to hell and you're going to heaven. You know, it's just, I just can't believe you missing out on so much. And I said, did you hear what you said, man? You're going to hell. I'm not missing out on anything. Even you said I'm going to heaven. I mean, you realize that? How? How do you know that? And he went through that. Well, I'm sure, you know, I was an altar boy. I went to the Catholic school growing up. I'm sure that this will help a little bit. I'll serve in purgatory a little while and somebody will pray me up that way. And I'm like, but what do you base that on? Based on what? And what I told him is that the one thing before we got to get back to work here, before your boss flips out on us because I'm up here preaching instead of working with you guys, is that the one thing you do realize, and I hope that you catch, is that you are going to go to hell. You said that. Not purgatory. You said you're going to go to hell. Just dwell on that. As you're enjoying this life. Because this is the only enjoyment you'll have. See, we fall short. We look here as he has this, he realizes he has this fear of God. We see that. And we realize he has a fixed mindset. And next we see is he's seeking forgiveness. Look at verse 42. And he said, Jesus, remember me. Remember me. To me, as he asks that, he seeks out the asking Jesus to please remember me. Remember me, you know, maybe he's wanting, desiring, he doesn't go in depth about it, but he just knows that when Jesus gets to the kingdom, that this is going to be the man there. This man, Jesus, isn't just a man. As he goes on, he says there, right? He says, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He's seeking forgiveness. He's realizing that, in essence, he's asking Christ that to remember him, forgive him, allow him into Christ's kingdom. This is the only way I'm going to get in is through this one here. So we see that he has this fear of God. He has a fixed mindset. He's seeking the forgiveness. And lastly, he's looking at the future. Because he says that, right? He says that when you come into your kingdom, he recognizes Christ is king. That Christ has a kingdom. The sign was hanging right over his head. As we heard right there, he says that this is King of the Jews. But he wasn't just king of the Jews, was he? He's king of kings. He will be Lord. He is the Lord of lords. He is sitting at the right hand of the Father right now. John 14:6, Jesus said to them, right? I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This man realized there was no way he was going to get to the kingdom except through Jesus Christ. You know, it's just challenging for me to think that here's this man. And it happens so often, right, that we see this in life, that people have a good life, so they don't think about it till here, right? Right at the cross, right here at the end of their life. Here's this man dying, realizing that this is the end. But as we see that, even especially in our day now, is folks are busy. Folks are busy with life. Folks are busy with things. As we even reach out to invite people to church, that you reach out to talk to people about Christ, they tell you, "Nah, I don't need that. You know, things are good." Not even realizing they have this disease inside them, sin, that if it's not dealt with, they will go to hell. And as I studied and prepared for this, I'm just looking at the cross and just really challenging myself to think about, this was the will of the Father. This is central to the gospel. Without the crucifixion, without Christ doing this, we have no hope. You know, too often we want to just think about, as it's even labeled, Good Friday, or you want to call it Holy Friday. We want to think about, we just keep thinking about Sunday, that Jesus is risen. But the whole point we have communion, the whole point we have that time, is to remind ourselves what it took for this. Jesus told them to remember this. Don't forget about this. So as we're here, we are at this scene, and I don't know how you're thinking about it in your mind, but I'm looking at this thief that made a good decision. Last moment, last minute, better late than never, right? But folks, we're not on the cross. We have an opportunity every day as we get up to say that, you know what, I'm gonna live for the Lord today. Maybe you've never made a decision. Maybe you're that thief on the cross that says, you know what, I've lived this life. I've lived it with this sin in my life, and I've never dealt with this sin. I've never taken it to the cross. I'm the other thief on the other side, just kind of getting along with the party as everyone else, following the crowd, saying that, yeah, look at this guy. If you really are miraculous, if you really are powerful, why don't you come down off the cross? As much as Jesus may have wanted to prove who he was, but what would that have done? It would have lost us our opportunity for salvation. He had to stay on the cross. I mean, to me, my mind goes and thinks, like, I just think about my kid. When my kid just reaches for something hot, I grab them. That's my kid. I wouldn't want them to say, well, you know, man, they just burn. They'll learn this time. You know, it doesn't happen. You don't want your kid to get hurt. And this father-son relationship going on between God and Jesus, I don't think God's up in heaven just thinking light of this whole thing. But this will had to happen. This deed had to happen. Christ had to die on the cross. This had to be allowed. There could have been legions of angels. You picture like the racetrack just pushing against the gate saying, God, come on. For these folks, Jesus is dying on the cross for those same people that are out front spitting on the guy. Jesus is dying for those. But it was right there after the resurrection, you look. And look there in verse 44, it was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. While the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two, things are going on. Jesus calling out a loud voice, saying, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last breath. And we see in Mark 15:39, it says that the centurion says this. You look in the screen here. It says that the centurion which stood facing him saw this, and he breathed his last breath. He said, "Truly this man was the Son of God." In his death, Christ still brought glory to God. So tonight, as we have communion together, as we remember what Christ did, I want to challenge each of us here to think about our lives. Maybe you're that thief that's right there saying that, you know what, I have a sin issue, I've never dealt with it, but I want to deal with it now. You don't want to wait. Because if you get on the other side of death, it's too late. You want to deal with it now. But maybe you're on this side and you're saying that this is a good reminder for us as Christians that sin that you may be enjoying, a sin that you may allow yourself to dab in. That's why it's so important for us to remember what that sin caused. See, Romans tells us that Paul says, I wish that you would abhor, hate, detest sin. That's how it should be for us as Christians. See 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. I close it up with this. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Folks, it is. Salvation is free. Anyone, it tells us, anyone calls upon the name of the Lord can be saved. But when you come to Christ, our life, we should live in a way that we bring credit and glory constantly funneling it back to God. You think about even Jesus Christ, there is on the cross. His death, the centurion, the onlooker saying that truly this man was innocent, truly this man was the Son of God. And I just thought about my life, and even just at work the other day, sitting there listening to these guys just laugh and joke, not even realizing that they are on that wide path straight to hell, but yet they even joke about it. Will they have that same mindset in hell? See, when we look, as Jesus gives us a small glimpse with the rich man and Lazarus, the man doesn't even repent. There he is in hell, and he still is not repenting. He just doesn't want his brothers to be there. Folks, our hearts, as we went out here, we inviting folks and we're telling folks about Christ, this should make our hearts so tender for people. Because it's that relationship, that constant reminder of the cross that makes Jesus so precious to you. As you remember what He did, what God allowed, that it was His will to crush Him so that you could have glorious heaven. So as the men come together, Brian, you want to come up? We have a time of communion. I just want to give everyone an opportunity to just where you are, bow your heads, close your eyes.